Let us pray. Holy God, with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Drench us in your love and fill us with your light this morning as we receive your word. Amen. Now let us explore Christ's authoritative teaching and his action of power. We're in Mark chapter 1, verse 21 onwards. Jesus takes his newly appointed band of disciples into the Roman town of Capernaum on the northern lakes of Galilee, the northern shores of Galilee. Capernaum was within walking distance of Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. We're in Gentile country. It was a well-established town under the dark and oppressive cloud of Roman occupation. And yet, the Jews were permitted to worship and hold their Sabbath assembly. It was key to maintaining their Jewish identity. And on this Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And it was not uncommon for traveling preachers like Jesus to have such an opportunity. This was not an aggressive intrusion by Jesus. Like any other adult Jewish male, Jesus could exercise a teaching ministry in the synagogue. But soon it became clear, as Jesus began to speak, that this was unlike any other teacher or scribe that they had previously heard. Jesus was unlike the scribes. They were experts in religious law. They interpreted the law for their day. And by the time of Jesus, they were a political party. They had power and influence. And Jesus, with his words and his message and his presence, he posed a direct challenge to the scribes. And he opposed what they stood for, because they would often get so tied up in the word that they would end up laying burdens onto people instead of setting them free. And so the scribes and the Pharisees would soon become Jesus' enemies and plot to silence him. But this is early on in Jesus' ministry. On this Sabbath day, Jesus spoke words of life and power. We don't know what Jesus said on that day. It's not recorded. But we're told that his words made a big impact on people. People were amazed. Why? In a word, authority. Jesus spoke with authority. Authority is about having the right, having the power to act and to lead and to influence. We know the word and the idea of authority is fairly tainted in 2018. We speak of a decline in respect for authority, whether it's legal, political, religious, or otherwise. And sometimes with good cause and reason. For we know that authority can be used for the good of others or for selfish gain. And sometimes, of course, there is abuse of authority and power, which can cause great harm. Sometimes those under authority can find it hard to accept authority, and so they become rebellious or resentful. Those who exercise authority can find it hard to do so without being overbearing. But not Jesus. Jesus was different. Jesus and his authority was different. Why and how? Well, the clue is right there in the word authority. Authority begins with the word author. An author is someone who is a creator, an author of a book, an author of a musical score. As an author, they have the right and ownership and possession of their work. So we can speak of copyright. And in a similar way, Jesus is the author of all creation, the whole universe, everything that has ever been, is today, or ever will be. He is the author of it all. The whole of creation is his possession. He owns the copyright. His hand is upon it. Jesus had been given all authority on earth and in heaven by his heavenly Father. So in this moment, and every time he spoke, he did so with perfect authority, not as the scribes and the teachers of the law, who were often giving second-hand information. Jesus spoke as the author of life, and that made all the difference. Jesus, it seems, didn't quote from or lean upon any other rabbis or teachers. He wasn't interested in dry debates or sterile sermons. Yes, Jesus did respect the traditions and heritage of the past. He was faithful at worship in the synagogue or temple. He said he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. After all, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, he was the author of the law, the source of all wisdom, the Word made flesh, the living Word. And here, although we don't know what he said, we know that here and on other occasions, he made the Word of God live. He interpreted the law in ways people could understand. He taught in everyday language, using picture stories and parables that often surprised or disturbed, sometimes with humor to drive the point home. As one writer put it, he talked of grass and wind and rain, of fig trees and fair weather, and made it his delight to bring heaven and earth together. He spoke of lilies, vines and corn, the sparrow and the raven, and words so natural yet so wise were on men's hearts engraven. Of yeast with bread and flax and cloth, of eggs and fish and candles. See how the whole familiar world he most divinely handles. Jesus is the supreme teacher. And today we can give thanks for everything that we have learnt from him in our lives that have kept us on that narrow path. There is, of course, so much more for us to learn. And here is a reminder that Jesus is our teacher, who is always wanting to impart new knowledge, new wisdom into us. May we continue to have a teachable spirit, to listen for his voice. May we understand and yield to his authority in our lives. Well, we've considered the authority of Jesus in his spoken word. But that's only half of the story of what happened on that Sabbath day. Because when Jesus speaks, things happen. Good things. He fulfills those words of Isaiah 55. My word that goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Yes, when Jesus speaks, good things happen. And it was certainly true on that hot day in the Capernaum synagogue. One moment, everyone is gripped by Jesus and his powerful teaching, when, out of the blue, out of nowhere, Jesus is suddenly interrupted. And it would not be for the first time. All of a sudden, there is a great commotion. Jesus is interrupted by a stranger, someone shouting out. Who is it? We don't know. We don't know anything about this man. We don't know his name. But we know that he is a troubled soul. Something in him does not like or agree with what he is hearing from Jesus. So he breaks up this congregation with an act of confrontation and challenge. He's come to pick a fight with Jesus. And the two men stand in stark contrast with each other. Here is Jesus filled with pure light and holiness of God versus this man who is in the shadows, possessed by some unwelcome guests who are squatting in his life. And the contrast is underlined in the man's cry. He speaks with a voice that's not his own. How do we read what he says? Is it with mean defiance? What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Or was it said in fear and in trembling? What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. However we read it, we know that here is conflict. Here is a battle between opposing forces of good and evil. His cry is best translated, "What have you to do with us? What have we got in common?" The unclean spirit recognizes Jesus and recoils. Just as light shows up the dirt, the light of Jesus showed up the stain in his life. And how does Jesus respond? Well, he is brief and he has authority. He addresses the unclean spirit. You see, Jesus doesn't only speak to the congregation, to the people, with authority. Jesus speaks to the spiritual realm with authority. And this sets apart Jesus. He is more than just a teacher. Here is the manifestation of his authority. Jesus orders the evil spirit, be silent, be silent. Or more literally, be muzzled. Come out of him. And that word liberates the man immediately. The unclean spirit is wrenched from him, crawls out of him, and he is set free. Jesus evicts the squatters, those who have no right to be there, because the property of that man's life belonged to God. Come out. Satan, bow to my authority. You do not own this man. He does not belong to you. You cannot possess him. He is mine. He is my precious child. I am the author of his life and his future. And that man was changed by the mercy of Jesus. The impure spirit obeys the word of the Lord. Powerful word. Doesn't destroy the man, but it restores him. What a savior. He was released. He was set free to be himself again. What a wonderful savior. With the psalmist, we can say of Jesus, great are the works of the Lord. Holy and awesome is his name. And that was one victory in that man's life that was going to be writ large on the cross of Calvary, where Jesus would defeat Satan once and for all. What about us as we think about our lives this morning? Yes, we may not be in the poor state like that man was, under that realm of darkness. But we know as we look within, it might not all be light. It's been said everyone has a moon and has a dark side that they show no one. We know that we need the light of God to shine on those dark places in our lives, in those fault lines in our own lives. We are in need of the liberating word of Jesus. When words of evil come out of us, God says through Jesus, be silent. He immerses us in his love. He brings forth words of light and life instead. He is still bringing healing for our divided selves today. He is transforming us into his likeness, and we're not there yet. I like the story of the little boy who was watching a sculptor at work. For weeks, the sculptor kept chipping away at this block of marble. And after a few weeks, that experienced sculptor had created a beautiful marble lion. And the little boy was amazed and he said, "Mister, how did you know there was a lion in that rock?" God is our maker. God is our sculptor. God is our author. He knows us by heart. He can see what we can't see. He knows what he wants to make us. He sees what we can become. So let's open ourselves again to the work of the Spirit. He is still setting us free with that man, one fetter at a time, one chain at a time, day by day. When needed, he still corrects us and rebukes us and quietens us and brings us peace, bringing the best out of us. Lastly, what was the outcome of this healing? Nothing is said about the man's response to the work of deliverance. There's no word of rejoicing, no mention of thanksgiving to God. We don't know whether he went on to follow Jesus. And that may surprise us. But it reminds us that witnessing a miracle, and remember the whole congregation that day witnessed it, seeing the miracle does not necessarily lead automatically to unwavering faith and discipleship. Yes, miracles lead to wonder, but don't always lead people to belief. But we are told the people were amazed, and they had to question everything they knew. They said, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority." And we are left with that question as we go from here to live our lives under the authority of Jesus, to let his teaching shape our lives and our church, to be open to that divine interruption, to spread the report about Jesus, and to follow him as his disciples and friends. Thanks be to God for Jesus, for his word, and for his authority, for his divine power at work in our lives. Amen. Let's pray and just take time to reflect on what we have heard and been reminded of today, and speak to God and perhaps do business with God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.